people, welcome to yet another week of our podcast. I'm Noreen.
I am Amanda.
And together we are
Love Is It,
where the you is for you. And thank you for being here. And today's topic is getting to know us and what love isn't. Is or isn't.
Love isn't is all about.
Love isn't is all about. Look at this, people that went to school. Like, I did not go to school for these things, okay? So, with that, since there's two of us, rather than just giving you a bio, we would ask each other questions and get to, well, some of these questions are surprise questions to each other, and some of them we've like had a discussion about them prior, so we know what they are. And do I start or do you want to start?
You can start.
But it's your question.
Oh, it's my question?
Yeah.
Okay, I can start.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to find my questions because I was
very much prepared.
No, but I cannot ask you my surprise questions. I want, they have to really be a surprise.
Okay, so I guess I will start and she's going to edit this stuff out.
Are you recording already?
I've been recording.
Okay.
This is why my white people voice be on, okay?
I was wondering, what is happening? Why are you trying to be sexy? But okay.
Been recording. Okay, so the first question, which I don't know, do we go into the first question or do we like kind of introduce each other a little bit?
Okay. Well, let's introduce each other a little bit.
Okay. Amanda, please introduce me.
Okay. So, that is Noreen. Do you want your whole government name out there?
No.
Okay.
You will have to work hard for that one.
Okay. So, that is Noreen. I don't know how much I want to expose about you, though.
Please do not.
So, she is a professional.
Allegedly, that matters. For this purpose,
no,
does.
No, I'm giving you the right to choose whether you want the people to know what your profession is or mm-hmm. not. She is very intelligent. She's very educated.
I'm taking a few deep breaths here.
Very opinionated, very caring though, and very attentive. Mm. She pays so much attention to details sometimes. It's freaking annoying, but you know what? I appreciate that sometimes. And she's very beautiful too, so there's also that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like those meta documentaries where she's like, she was strikingly beautiful before she was killed.
Just say thank you. Like, learn how to take a compliment.
We're gonna learn how to take compliments as time goes on, okay? So, on my left hand, she could be my right hand, is Amanda the Queen. I mean, she had to be reminded that she's a queen, okay?
I forget.
She forgets, but her Insta name is Queen, so I don't know how she'd be forgetting this. And she is, she's my lover. And we'll unpack what that means, okay? And that means she's been there, and she is there, and she's currently present at this moment. She's not a diehard, because that also is a topic of its own, but she is a caring friend that is real. She'll call me out on my bull, so that's always fun. But between the two of us, she likes to think I get us into trouble, but I don't see her getting us out of this trouble, so I don't know what she'll be talking about. I don't know what she's talking about, okay? On Monday, you will find her with her face, and that means you will not recognize her on Tuesday, okay? And that means she will find her face, okay? She'll be pretty, and we shall not talk about her outfits, because I have way too many opinions about those, because that's just me. That's just me.
Freedom of expression, people.
Yeah, she dresses to her mood, which we respect, mm-hmm. but she commands the respect in any room.
Oof. I am not repeating that. I received that. Say it again.
So,
as for you, the people in the back, I need you to say it again.
As you can clearly tell, this bickering like an old couple is real, okay? So, this, Amanda came up with this question, but I guess that's why I said ask your question. It is, what is one thing that you learned later on in life that you would have wanted to know earlier? Oh, and I have to answer these questions as well, so.
Okay, I need to put a disclaimer. I am horrible at answering questions. Ask all my teachers. They know this. But I'm going to try my best.
She was kicked out of a few classes. Not answering the question.
But,
What is one thing that you learned later on in life that you would have wanted to know earlier?
How to forgive.
Okay.
I feel like I still, at this adult age, at this big age of mine that I'm not going to mention, I still don't know how to forgive. Well, I forgive people, but I don't know how to let it go and, like, actually move on.
Okay.
So it's like, I wish I had learned that as a child or early on. I could still be friends with a lot of people.
Might explain why she has so many friends.
I could still be friends with a lot of people, and I'll still be in some sort of relationship with a lot of people around me. Because usually when you piss me off, my initial reaction is to let you go. Like, thank you for your service. Mm-hmm. If you are dismissed.
And we go unpack why relationships don't stick up. That's a conversation for another day. Would you like to continue? Should I answer mine?
No, you can answer yours.
Okay. For me, it is knowing that I'm enough and that a no is a full sentence, and setting certain boundaries and being okay with having them in place. I am the life of the party when I want to be, and then sometimes people think that means I'm easy, but trust me, it's not that easy. There's a boundary that's set in place, and when you cross that boundary, unlike Amanda, maybe I forgive easily and I give too many chances in that way. And by easy, I don't mean the easy that you're already thinking. I mean easygoing. But truth be told, I'm very rigid and structured and set in my ways. So, yeah. Your question.
Okay, my question is, what is a toxic personality trait that you have?
Ooh, I kind of feel like that relates to one of the questions that I have.
Great minds think alike.
Right? But mine was less serious, okay? I will say my questions, but I don't have to say it after.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, what's an annoying characteristic that you have?
Mm.
Right, so it's a little more fluffy rather than toxic.
Let's get into it.
But I think I have, I am the last born in my family. Depends on who you ask. But I tend to take on the being the older one. And I organize and I structure things and I'm forever. Well, I also park in reverse for that reason. Okay, I need to be in control of certain things, and it makes sense. I see the value of it, but sometimes I find it very annoying, especially in relationships, where I think one of the reasons why we work and sometimes cannot work is because I take on that role of like nurturing and caring. No, I don't think I should be a mother because of that. But I just love to adopt adults. Yet I'm always like, I don't want to adopt adult children, but I'm forever adopting adult children that way. And I have so many. I have so many people that are even older than me that call me their mother. And I'm like, that wasn't my intention. But what's your annoying characteristic?
My annoying
characteristic? Annoying or toxic, as you put it. Toxic.
Well,
was the word you used.
If it doesn't, if it's not the same answer as the first question, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a toxic human being at this point. My toxic personality trait is I don't know how to apologize. Like, Like, swallowing my pride is a thing that I can't do.
Yeah, I'm also trying to figure out a time when you apologize.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I'll buy food. I'll buy some. I'll do everything but say the word. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I feel like...
I'm sorry. You're not sorry?
There's times when I'm like, you probably should apologize. And I'm like, but you know what? Swallowing my pride, I could choke. Like, it's not a thing that I like.
See, if I can't say it, I'll type it.
Yeah, you apologize a lot.
I do. I would rather.
But also, you cross the line a lot.
See, I'm human. I'm forever evolving. And whoever defines this line is someone that's not actually
living. No, but you also know my line. And you like, it's like you know the line is here and I'm just going to keep pulling.
Like I said, I get us in trouble. I'm forever putting it in uncomfortable situations.
I don't like it.
Which is the whole point. Like even this whole situation that we're in right now. What was it, Amanda?
Let me tell you what happened. So about 2 years, if not a year and a half ago, I said, you know what? We always have these conversations where I'm like, we're so deep. Yeah, I'm like, we're so deep. Like, you know, but it's also deepness just for the two of us because it's like nobody else is listening. So I said, we should have a podcast. She's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we leave it at that, okay? Time passes by. I forgot about it and I'm living my best life, like,
in this quarantine.
Like, I have no job, like, nothing. I'm spending the whole day sleeping. Like, my ultimate universe. Like, this is where I want to be. And she's like, I see her invite me on Instagram, like, love is in podcast. I'm like, wait a minute. What happened? She's like, well, because we brainstormed names for the Love is in podcast. And I'm like, oh, we're coming up with all these names. Ah, most of them were already names that were in use, so we were like, okay. So long story short, I found out that I was doing a podcast without my consent. I am here under duress.
She also did buy a microphone. Like, not just about a bougie one. Like, she couldn't do it halfway. I guess she's here for that. So do you feel like you answered the question?
I feel like I did.
Okay, we'll leave it to the people to say. We'll leave it to the people to decide.
Do you feel like I answered the question?
I don't remember what your answer was. That's why I'm trying to struggle.
I said I don't know how to apologize.
That that's your toxic. Okay.
Next time, be taking notes when I answer questions.
I will try not to. Okay, my question two, which I think we kind of discussed this question, and if you've ever hung out with us, especially in a group of adults, we have this thing where we've decided that we're going to be the love gurus and we're going to have everybody answering the 32 questions to love or falling in love. I don't remember, but it was a New York Times article and these questions are available online. You just find them out and that's how we get to know people and that's how we make friends as adults, because this whole what's your favorite color isn't cutting it anymore. And this is one of those questions from that. And I think I've asked this question on a date as well. When was the last time you cried and why?
Ooh, this vulnerability thing is really, we're really going there.
We're taking it there.
The last time I cried, it hasn't been that long. I'm trying to remember why I was crying though. I'm just an emotional person, believe it or not. I'd just be crying for no reason. But
just be letting the tears fall.
Like, when I get angry, I cry because it's a thing. I'm just going to say we had some family drama and I felt some type of way. And the only thing that I could do to release was to cry. And it was like 2 weeks ago.
What is the reason? I wanted to remind you of that if you were.
You know what? This is why we call her Shady Baby. Shady, okay? Thanks.
Hey, this is why I'm good at my job, okay? I remember things like this.
So what is your job again, speaking of jobs?
Isn't that a completely separate podcast on its own? Like, on its own. But, okay. I guess the last time I cried, for whatever reason, I can't remember it either. Like, I don't remember the last time I actually cried. At least before quarantine, or I haven't cried during quarantine either. So it feels like it's been a little bit, it's been a while. This is going to sound fluffy as someone that can like cue her own tears. So do not believe my tears when you see them. believe them sometimes, but not all the time. And I'm okay with grown men crying in front of me, which is also another story. The last time I cried, or I remember crying. Wow. Can I pass and come back to it?
No.
As we continue talking, no. You might come back to me.
Oh, you don't remember when you cried?
Like, I don't remember the last time I cried. But, okay, here's what I would say. I think it probably had to do with letting go of someone. Because I struggle to let go of people. Like, once you're in my life, I feel like you're in my life. You're like, you're in prison. So, if the last time I cried was probably after I had a conversation with someone and we were kind of like deciding to part ways, which also means I have to respect someone else's decisions and boundaries. Clearly, I don't. But, yeah, I think that was probably... I don't remember the exact situation and I don't... If I do, when it comes up, I will say it.
Okay.
Your question.
Oh, my question.
I also feel like I have a cold, which is weird. Okay. I also just took a shower.
Okay, I have a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather live without orgasms or romance?
Can I give myself the orgasms? Or
No, you cannot give yourself. They have to come from somebody else. Just like romance comes from somebody else.
So, not entirely though, but...
That's a whole other
thing. Yeah.
Just answer the question.
I'm going to forgo an orgasm for romance.
That is so cute. Why?
I am a romantic at heart. And I don't know. I feel like I love the tease and the pursuit more than the actual destination.
Please tell us more.
No, do I really care about the destination? So I'd rather you romance me to the T. And it's okay. I can forgo the orgasm. God knows I've forgotten for years, but that's not the point.
I feel like we need to dig deep to that statement. You said what?
You need to answer the question. Answer the question.
Oh, okay. As a child of God.
She gonna slap me.
As a child of a God, I'm gonna say I am all about the romance. I would rather have romance in my life. Like you, I am a romantic person. I love all things romance, so I am all for that. And like, orgasms only last like 30 seconds or less. Like, so it's like romance is something.
She'd be having them short orgasms.
I feel attacked. I said as a child, this is what I hear. This is what I should have said that. This is what I hear.
Or from the experience of others. Yes, people. From okay. Other people's from experience. The science textbook.
Yes, that it only lasts mm-hmm. for like 30 seconds or less. And okay. Romance is something that it's like you think about afterwards. Like, you know, you find me
it's smiling. It's long lasting.
Yeah, you find me smiling for no reason because he just texted me, "Hey, beautiful queen." I'm like,
we shall talk about him on a different podcast.
I don't know who this man is.
We shall talk about him.
I feel sorry for this man. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then in line with that, mm-hmm. I'll ask this one. What role does love have in your life? Have you ever been in love?
Ooh. I was reading a book and it talked about how relationships mm-hmm. and romance contributes to 2/3 of our happiness.
Okay.
So
that's not what I tell my client. I say self-love.
Well, that too, like mm-hmm. the love you give yourself and the love you receive from other people contribute mm-hmm. to 2/3 of your happiness. Mm-hmm. So with that, love plays a big role in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I love love. So I love to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
The next question was, have I ever been in love?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I believe so.
Okay.
For what I believed it to be love at the time.
At the time.
There are times when I'm like, I wasn't in love, but at the time.
Mm-hmm. That was love.
That was love to me.
Mm. So it wasn't love, isn't
it wasn't, it wasn't. Like, it's like, it was, you know, it. I look back and I'm like, that was trash. But I also look back, I'm like, but that's all I knew.
That's all you had.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm going to take this in like a different direction. First of all, I love being in love, and yes, love, but also I think for me, the role of love in my life is going to have to be from the people that don't even express it. Like, I'm thinking love from my family, my siblings, and in that instance, I think love really plays a very critical role, because that's what drives us and that's what keeps us going. If it wasn't for love, I don't think I'll do half the things that I do for my family or continue to do them, okay. Right? Because then I'll just be like, no, what's the point? Because just because we blood doesn't mean we're family, but
we need to unpack that,
right? Like that, yeah. Okay. But also at the same time, I love you, and just because we're blood doesn't mean I have to love you. Love, it continues to be a choice, and for me, I think I choose to love, and that's the role that love plays in my life, where it's a choice. It gives me so much more opportunity to explore and also find myself. Have I ever been in love? When am I not in love? Like, yes, I have been in love. I learned what love is from different sources, and learned how to be loved and how I wanted to be loved. And yeah, for whatever reason, I was reminded of that yesterday too. And yeah, I have been in love, like deep love.
You said something that I found very interesting. You mm-hmm. said love is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear this.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Well, I choose, like, it is, I continue to choose to be in love and be in that space. Like, love isn't something that just happens to you.
Ooh, love isn't the podcast.
Love. Right? Like, we kind of thought this deep. Like, we kind of did. No, we didn't. We're not. Yeah. So I guess I'm asking the next question.
Yes.
Okay. This was part of your questions too. I just happen to be the note taker here. What is the consistent dream that you've had but haven't acted on, and why? So what is the consistent dream or pursuit or thing that you wanted to do but haven't acted on, but you keep wanting to have it?
I've always dreamed of being a writer. You know this.
Yeah, I do.
You know this. I love.
Yeah, I write her bio like she's like she's a writer, and you know, I'm the one that writes the bio.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I love to write, and mm-hmm. I love to read. So I always like sharing other people's experiences,
mm-hmm.
especially on paper, and how people view the world.
Mm.
And I've come across a lot of people that have realized that the way I go about in the world is not the same way.
Okay.
And because of that, I've always wanted to write my experiences. Right. But there's also this lingering thing of, are you really good at writing? Is your writing good enough to write a book?
Remember, you're good enough.
Oh yes, I am good enough. But also, you, like, there's always those moments of self-doubt where you mm-hmm. doubt your abilities and you doubt if you really could do this. So it's like,
didn't we doubt we could do this podcast?
I doubt everything. Everything is a doubt in my life. But
that's true.
I always am like, I feel like I just need to keep reminding, because I write, or you know this, I write all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love to journal, but it's like, and also I always worry about, is it safe enough to let my thoughts roam around the world? Like, let other people into my life to that extent, you know? Let them see how I view the world.
Aren't you already letting them in by having this podcast?
This is a whole other anxiety, like,
provoking
situation. So it's not really helping.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, maybe one day I'll do it. Maybe one day I will have the courage and the guts to be like, let me just
write
it.
Sorry, I just like got close to you and I got your perfume. I was like, okay.
I smell good.
We shall not talk about this perfume. It's because I know it, that I know, I recognize it, okay? So for me, I think, I don't even know why this is a dream or why it hasn't even become a reality. But I've had restaurant names, I've had restaurant partners, I've had people that I've spoken to. So I love cooking, and I will cook for an army before I have to do dishes any day. And I think I am, well, I'm decent at it. I probably am not. I'm not Chef Ramsay, but if that Ramsay is. Has a recipe, I've emulated it at some point. Tell you that.
Live in your truth. So you're good.
I will go out of my way and try and make the recipe. I make it my way too, because it's me. But I don't know why I've never acted on it. Like, I've planned on opening a restaurant back in Zimbabwe. I've planned on, like, having someone. I've planned on, like, doing, like, a catering company. And I guess my life is just too busy with other things right now that I haven't acted on it. But I think that's also one of those lifelong dreams that I hope to achieve. And then the second part to that, clearly I dream a lot, is I've always wanted to be a lawyer. Why I haven't acted on going to law school is, like, I'll do it after I have kids, and that is my second career in life. But I think that's why I haven't acted upon it. Yeah. Your question.
Okay, my question is, do you think you're a good person, and why?
Is this supposed to be a surprise question?
Yes.
That's not even. But, okay. Do I think? I think I'm a great person. No, I've decided that I'm not letting anyone else's definition of what good is and having to embrace that. I am going to make this a long, short story, but I have to struggle with not having to appease or taking on certain guilt from mostly my mom. But, and that doesn't change the fact that I'm a good person. Like, I may not be able to do what she wants me to do for her at that given moment, but that doesn't mean I'm not a good person or that I'm not going to do it in the long run. And in general, I just strive to not step on people's toes. But everyone's definition of that is different, and it's forever moving. So I cannot please everyone out there in that sense. And so I am a good person because I have the intentions to be a good person.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I doubt my goodness more often than I should. I feel like the constant theme of this is me doubting myself. Like,
we're going to have doubt isn't love.
But I feel like I wouldn't be doing the career that I'm doing if I wasn't a good person or trying to be.
And she gonna tell us what this career is.
But I feel like I am a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always do good things, okay. But I am a good person. And that is based on my definition of what good is and not what the world defines as good.
And we're going to leave it at that. Yeah. So my question is, are you aware of your childhood traumas that might be at work in your life currently?
Ooh.
I know. If you don't ask this question on a first date, I don't know why you're on a first date. Like, ask this question. And I'll say it one more time. Are you aware of your childhood traumas that might be at work in your life currently?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Say more.
I was in therapy for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day we'll get into that. It'll be a whole entire podcast on that. And because of that, I had to learn things. I had to revisit situations that I had suppressed for a very long time. And realized how much they still impacted the decisions that I make, the people that I date, and how I receive love from other people and from my family and all these things. And so, yes, I am. I'm just going to do it at that.
Right, okay. So I am aware of my childhood traumas and how they are impacting my life. Part of it is... like I said, I'm the last born, however it may not be necessarily true. in fact. So there are issues with relationships and how to form them and how to hold on to them. And as Amanda said, sometimes it is that idea of just quickly letting people go or being quick to get rid of people because you don't want them to leave you. So you'll rather be the one that does the leaving. And my mom is a great woman. I love her. And I would not be here even having this conversation if she wasn't my mom. I say this all the time. I may not post it on Facebook to say Happy Mother's Day, but she knows that I mean it. And if I'd gotten a different mom in life, I don't know if I would be the same person. But she's so open and honest about certain things that she was like, yeah, you were a surprise baby. I wasn't really thinking of keeping you. I'm okay with that. I embrace it. And sometimes I use it against her to be like, I'm not doing it for you because I wasn't supposed to be here or not doing certain things. But I think part of that is questioning then, why would anyone want me if I wasn't wanted from the beginning? And working on that on a daily basis to say, I am lovable and I do deserve love. And it is not despite that I wasn't wanted, but because I wasn't wanted that I even deserve love more. Your question, sis.
So we're not gonna unpack that. That is
No, we're not unpacking. Okay. The vulnerable side here is coming out.
Okay, so when was the first time you felt like you were an adult?
Do I even feel like an adult right now?
Just making sure.
Probably at 22, almost 23, when I signed mortgage papers. God damn, so old. And even though it was, I wasn't doing it, like thinking, oh, this is an adult thing to do. I was just doing it as like, oh, great prize, everything is great, it's in my name, blah, blah, blah. But there's more to that story than what I'm sharing right now. But I think at that moment, I realized I was planting some roots and making decisions that I had not even thought of doing. And that I think it crossed me over because to some extent that's one of those milestones that are in place for you to feel like an adult. And crossing that milestone made me feel like an adult. Although I feel like I've always been an adult. I'm like forever caring for people and caring for everyone. So, yeah. When did you feel like you're an adult?
She basically
asked that question just to say she doesn't.
No, but I don't. I really don't. I feel like adulthood is a myth.
Okay. Don't say little, say more.
Because I feel like, to an extent, I still have the same responsibilities I had when I was 16.
Okay. So to some extent, you've always been an adult?
I have never been an adult. I was just put in an adult role.
Oh, she was parentified.
Yes, you know. So I really don't think that I'm an adult. I don't know what adulting is or being an adult looks like because we're all winging it. I have seen some...
Oh, that's true. No one knows what that is.
I've seen some adult people do some childish things, and people I consider adults.
It's not a judgment, right? Like, not
it's
a judgment.
Not. It's not a judgment. It's okay. Really not. It's how I feel.
They'd be your feelings.
Feelings are not facts. They're valid, but they're not facts.
They're real. Feelings are real, but they're just not the
so
fact.
I feel like at that moment they were behaving like children. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that I know what adulting is.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
My next question is, you call yourself a feminist. Explain that to us.
Okay,
we have matching necklaces that say feminist. So I'm just putting you on the spot right now.
Jesus Christ.
They're surprise questions.
These are surprise questions. When I was at the UN, this lady asked me and I was listening to the people talk about it. And I was like, that's not how I define feminism, which I feel like all people that consider themselves feminists, we need a meeting to talk about.
But do we even have to have conscious, and these are words that we use in feminism, conscious, coherent, homogeneous definition of it?
Or
is that for the people that don't understand?
Yes, when we're trying to, because a lot of the time there's always this, when you talk to people about feminism, they're always saying you feminists don't have one definition of what feminism is.
Isn't that the point?
And it always looks like we pick and choose what we want from feminism. That's what it always looks like, which is to an extent sometimes
true. Let's say feels like, since feelings are real, but they're not facts.
Okay, my bad. But yeah, so for me, feminism is about equity.
Okay.
Not so much equality, because we can never really be equal. I feel like equality is something...
There's physical differences.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that would different. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between black feminism and white feminism. So for me,
that way of matching.
Yes, and a lot of black women that are feminists don't even call themselves feminists, they call themselves womenists. But because I'm not trying to separate myself from everybody else, I still want to have the same rights and privileges as
that were gained by the suffrage movement.
So because of that, I still call myself a feminist, but it's mostly about equity, having the same opportunities as the next person. But okay. I'm also being aware that I am not able to do some things that a man can do or that another woman can do.
Okay. Fair enough. I am going to say we don't need the same definition, first of all. And for me, and keep in mind, my degree is in women's studies. I know. Took one class, fell in love with it, couldn't stop, so I just did a double major, okay? Not even a minor, it had to be a double major, because I was like, I need it written that it is like women and gender studies, as it's called now. And for me, feminism, again, is about choice. It is the ability to make certain choices that you were not able to previously, and being able to choose what you want and how you define your life. And I think one of the things that we usually talk about is how your feminism isn't the same as my feminism.
Thanks.
Right? And part of it is I love cooking, as I mentioned, and I choose to do that because it's something that I like. It's not, as a woman, you belong in that sphere, so you are stuck just cooking and there's nothing else, and you cannot get out into the public sphere or be a lawyer, be whatever else people want to be out there. Rather, you're just stuck as like a childbearing, a gatekeeper of culture, and the person that gets the backhand of society. Rather, you have the choices to do that. So for me, someone who chooses to have kids and be a wife, I can still consider them to be a feminist because those are the choices that they've made. Whereas if this is something that you are forced to do or you do without a choice, then that's when, because I don't think feminism is about men versus women. Rather, it is not even against patriarchy, but rather the systems that are in place that have always defined things basing it on just one experience and not taking into consideration that women have different lived experiences than men.
That's true. Yeah. Now I feel like my answer sucked, but whatever.
We will not blame the education part of it.
I do not have a degree in women's studies, although I've taken some classes. That's not clearly. I didn't show up to every class.
It's your question.
It is my question. This is my last question, actually.
Okay. I might have a few more, but okay. Yeah.
In your opinion, does the concept of monogamy make sense, or is it archaic?
She just said to throw a big word.
I read it last night.
Yeah. So remember when I said I've been in love, and I think part of that was that question was a struggle because I think it was central to some of like the differences that we had. Monogamy has made sense for the last however many centuries.
Please refer to Esther Perel.
Right, like love her, but it doesn't mean that it always makes sense. And what I'm getting at is, there was, like I said in my previous answer about feminism, it wasn't a choice. It was, that's the best thing that you can do for, it was an economic decision, rather it was a choice. And so for me, I'm going to go with, I don't think it is as outdated, but also I don't think it is the only option and the only way to defining a relationship. I think there's the Christian view. There's also just the lived experience of what you've seen. And I think we have ostracized anything but monogamy to a point where all these other sects don't actually get to have a voice. I watch, what is that show? Sisters and I or whatever. I don't even remember it is, but it is on TLC where this guy is married to like four women, and it's not even about that I enjoy watching the show, but I think I watch it to get that sense of how do you even make sense of that type of living. And part of it for me is I'm okay if there's four of us, as long as we all know.
That was
know.
Gonna be my question, thank you for answering.
Right, as long as we all know that there's four of us, because if I just get to deal with you for like a Tuesday and then I don't have to see you until next Thursday, I'm not against that idea either. But as long as I'm making the choice that that's the space that I want to be in and it works for me, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be blindsided into a situation that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And probably people listening to this will think I didn't even answer that question, but I think I have.
Okay.
And how
so I feel like your theme during this whole talk has been choice, the importance of choices. Of
it is.
The right to choose what you want for yourself,
mm-hmm.
the right to self-determination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my favorite podcaster, which is Esther Perel.
And where the hell did you get Esther Perel?
So Esther Perel is a psychologist, a counselor, a therapist, and all the things, you know. And she talks about the idea of how we ask this one person to be all the things that we need in our lives. Mm-hmm. That person to be your confidant, your counselor, your all the things that...
Your lover, orgasm your friend, giver, your romancer.
Your sexual, you know, all these things. And that's too much to ask from one individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people, they certain things that you might not be really on the same page with, even when you're in a relationship. Like, mm-hmm. certain, like the way you understand situations. So sometimes you want to have...
We're going to have a conversation about mind facts.
You want to be able to have a lover, but also have a friend, and also have all these things. But can you really get it from one person?
We're asking for too much.
I feel like I agreed with her on that. So, mm-hmm. But I'm also a selfish person. I don't like sharing.
Okay.
So it is a struggle of, I know you cannot be my all,
mm-hmm.
but I also want you to be my all. I understand you cannot be my all. I mm-hmm. understand that. Like, that's my brain. But my heart is, I can't
Your
be
heart,
a sister
I can't
wife.
Deal with.
I can't
That's the name of the show.
I can't share you with somebody else, you know? So it's like, how do we... Now I always think about how do we find the balance? Because I do believe monogamy to an extent is archaic. Okay. I feel like it is, back in the day...
It's an outdated concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm not also saying I don't want to be in an open relationship. I don't want to be none of the things, the new age things. I would like that archaic part.
It's
of
okay,
it.
You can be pansexual.
What does that mean?
What was pansexual? Ask Miley, okay? But the one that I wanted to say was sapiosexual, where you're in love with someone's brain.
I love people's minds. Like I've seen people that are like, your mind is a beautiful thing. Can I have it?
Yeah. We might have to figure out, I might have to remember what pansexual means. But
isn't pansexual people who don't want to have sex with other
isn't
people?
Isn't that asexual?
Ah, oh, that's asexual.
Yeah. I think that's asexual. But that's, we, she will look that up as I ask my next question, which,
So you are fluid.
Oh, so I was right. Like, I should trust my mind half these times.
You are fluid. It's not limited in sexual choice with regard to biological sex.
Oh, okay.
Or gender.
Okay.
You know, sex and gender.
Are two different things. They are not the same thing. Yeah. So, I guess out of all my serious questions, which most of them have been serious, and I skipped one, which I think we can answer it in a different way. This was my fun question. What is it like to have me as a friend?
How much time do we have?
Ideally, in 3 minutes, we need to have answered this question because I don't want people sitting here for over an hour.
Okay, so I said this when I was introducing.
That's what I said. Right? I feel like I kind of answered it.
But it is actually fun, exhausting.
Yeah.
Fun. Exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a struggle between those two because I'm very relaxed. I go with the flow most times. Okay. Mm-hmm. Noreen is very structured.
Okay? Yeah. My mother called it rigid.
Yeah. She there's people that you would ask and they'll be like, Amanda is very rigid, but when I'm talking of Noreen, it's like, she's very structured. We have stories about when we went on vacation, she gave us an itinerary of what needed to happen, when it needed to happen.
Hey, you have 4 days in Vegas, make the best of it.
Okay, so there were scheduled naps, but you know what?
See, I cater to their needs. They love napping, so I put that in.
Like, you can schedule a 1 hour nap.
It wasn't 1 hour. You spent the rest of the time talking to... we won't mention his name. That could have been part of your time. But shout out to Too Easy.
I feel attacked. But
so I guess that's your experience of having me as a friend.
Yeah, attacked. But I always feel attacked. I also feel like I'm always forced to deal with my issues and my traumas and things that trigger me on a daily basis. It's like, okay, I'm like, so this happened, and she's like, so why did it make you feel that way? And I'm like, don't be my therapist. I'm okay. I just need a friend right now. And she's like, no, let's unpack. I'm like, why do we always need to unpack? I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. But it has been very, like, it's been very good. It's been very amazing. Also, it's also, like, she's also my champion. Like, she pushes me. I'm like, I can't do this. And she's like, but you can. I'm like, I can't. She's like, but you can. Mm. So, and where I forget, I always forget. I have a short memory. One day maybe we'll find out why I have a short memory. And I have memory
loss. We shall unpack this with Esther Perel.
We shall unpack it. It's a real thing. And it's a side effect to mm-hmm. some things that I go through in my life. But...
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me of the things that I said I'm going to do on a daily basis. I was supposed to register to a college and I forgot for my career purpose. And I literally forgot. And she says, Amma, she calls me. She's like, I was just wondering, did you register? So I was like, wait, what you talking about? She's like, you said a month ago. But so I appreciate
the receipts.
I appreciate that. It's like she holds me accountable and say, you said mm-hmm. you were gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
You better be great. Mm. So I appreciate that. Although sometimes at the time it's really annoying.
I will take the lovely compliments because these were all meant as compliments.
I know, it's how you receive them. I like, appreciate that.
I'm receiving them as compliments, okay? Like, as you were talking, I kept thinking about for anyone to understand what it's like to have each other. Like I say, she's my lover. And that doesn't mean, like, we're sexual or anything or romantic in any way.
I was going to skip this part.
But you have to understand where we came from. And I think part of that is how our relationship has evolved to even be here. Like, I don't think anyone, there's a lot of people that never saw us as like likely people to be friends, first of all. I was going through like some pictures where I was like, shit, we were in those pictures together, because there's people that I thought were that close to me that but never came through. And part of it is what I'm saying is she's always been there and she always comes through and she's consistent in that way. And I did mention this. She does put me in my place. And part of that is putting me on time out. Like, don't get that concept. I'm an adult. I don't go on time out. And I think those conversations have created space for us to be able to like have those difficult conversations and challenging conversations where it's not because we don't fight, but it's because we're able to actually hold space and have those difficult conversations that we get through things. And half the time it might be time out and she's like, in 4 hours, don't call me. And I'm like, I'm calling you. It's enough. You took a nap. We reset. Let's go on with life.
She does not understand that when she makes me angry, I need to go reflect.
I don't make you do anything. I don't make you
when
angry.
When I receive your words and they anger me.
Okay, that sounds much better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. See, I hate it when she does this. but when I receive it and it makes me feel some type of way, I usually have to take time for myself. And for me, it's usually trying to figure out why from what you said made me feel that way.
Is that a healthy coping strategy?
For me, it is. My therapist said I should do that. Take time out because I will curse you up.
Which, by the way, she's the one that does all the cursing. I do not.
You talked about mindfuck since the beginning. I have not said one word.
Yeah, but that's a different concept. You know what? It's okay. Not saying the F-bomb. It's actually describing a concept.
I like to express myself. I am a self-proclaimed cursing Christian.
Okay. She's also in works. God is still working on her.
You know what that means, right?
Right. So it's like, see, it's not like having her as a friend is like, it's not, we have the same, we don't have to have the same goals or have the same interests, but having her as a friend is allowing me to see life through someone else's lived experience that isn't similar to mine, but also it is putting me in a space where I have to learn how to be a friend. This is someone that isn't blood, but this is someone that, again, I choose to have in my life, whereas I have two sisters, and I will be so quick to just get rid of those. Love them, they know that, but that's not the point. The point is, in this friendship, having her around is someone to call me out, is someone that keeps me grounded, and she allows me to say my bull, but also say, when you're done, we're not having this conversation. Which gets to me at times. That gets to me at times, but I know the value of it, and that's why I go back to it. And I guess it is part of the conversation of how we even became friends or how we got to be is the fact that we never needed that whole constant, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, for us to be friends. Like, if we go 24 hours, by the way, we're going crazy without talking. But also at the same time, it's evolved to that. Whereas we didn't even start out as people that would stop like that. But having Amanda as a friend is knowing that she's going to tell you your truth, is she's going to be there for you, but also she is going to pull you on timeout.
Very important.
Yeah, apparently timeout is an important thing.
I put everybody.
And I had to learn to take naps in the afternoon. I still can't take naps. I let her take the nap. I'm just on my phone the whole time, but I had to learn to take a nap.
I get tired of talking. I get tired. Like, I just have to reset. Like, it's like I have to take my battery out and I have to put it back. So, you know, and because I have to do that, I put people on timeout so they can do other things while I take a nap.
Okay. So, you said you're done all your questions?
Yes.
Okay. I have one more. So, you kind of talked about the idea of like why a podcast.
Yeah.
But why love isn't? And are you ready to receive love? Mm-hmm. And someone asked you this question yesterday.
Someone really did put me on blast yesterday. Was like, are you ready to receive love? I should have reflected on that question. I should have known it was coming. I would like to believe that I am ready to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because sometimes we think we're ready for things and they are right in front of us and now we don't know how to act.
Mm.
So I would like to believe that I'm ready
to receive love, but it's, I don't know. I also don't know how to receive love.
Okay. And that takes a lot to even admit that.
So because of that, I don't know if I am ready. I feel like I...
Have you been told that you should be ready to receive love at this point?
You know, I don't like people telling me what I should and shouldn't do.
Yeah, but I'm just asking.
I have been told that at this point in my life, I am not getting any younger. Mm. I should be ready to receive
love. Because love is only received at a certain age.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am like, I love the idea of love, and I would like to think I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see somebody love for me and see how I react to it, how I receive it.
How? Oh, as it was put, just because you're not ready doesn't mean you don't deserve to be loved.
Right? Yeah. And I was about to say, I think I need to work on myself, mm-hmm. but then my therapist once said, you are never ready. You are never ready for anything. So what makes you think you need to fix
yourself? There needs to be a time, yeah.
And why, just because you feel like you are not, there's certain things that you need to work on, doesn't mean you cannot have love at this point.
Mm.
So, you know, so I'm like, I'm ready, I guess.
You're going to be ready either way. You're going to be also, ready.
So the podcast, you asked the question about the podcast. Mm-hmm. Mildred said the podcast is about what love shouldn't be. I love that because she took away what she wanted to take away from the title, which is a big thing because I feel like...
Bless her heart.
No, because I feel like... I think that's what's a takeaway because like I feel like...
When you read the title.
Yeah, we're often told about what love is.
Mm.
Everybody talks about what love is and how to work towards...
Love is kind, love is patient, love is all of that. But isn't that what they're telling you it is?
Yes.
God knows, I didn't claim to be a Christian, but the Bible verse is becoming out.
Okay, that's true. Jesus said that. But what I mean is, so often than not, we are not really focused on what love isn't.
We don't reflect on, but we're also not out here to talk about the toxicity of love or the ways that love goes wrong.
What?
We're not here to just focus on that.
I'm here for the drama.
Just here for the comments. We're not just here to focus on that. We're really just talking about our lived experiences. And part of it is talking about what love is, what love isn't. And love isn't really came about, spelled with a U instead of an O, was about the focus on you as an individual rather than the O. Which I don't know what even means stood for.
Nothing.
Oh, the endless rings of love, blah, blah, blah.
Infinity.
Love you forever. We put a U because we're here to talk about...
Self-love,
us, ourselves.
Selfishness. I endorse selfishness.
Selfishness is real. And with that, I guess this is the end of our first episode of Getting to Know Us.
Yes. If you have any questions, send us an email to loveisn't@gmail.com.
And you can find us on Instagram, loveisn't. And we thank you for being here with us. And this was Noreen.
Oh, and I am Amanda.
And we are
Love Isn't.
Well, that's it from us this week at Love Isn't. Please find us on Instagram at Love Isn't, LoveIsnt. And feel free to send us an email at loveisn't@gmail.com with some topic suggestions. Or if you'd like to come on as one of our guests, because we're all here for you guys. And we hope to see you soon. We'll be posting these episodes on a weekly basis. Bye for now.